In 1918, a young woman on the brink of madness pursues stardom in a desperate attempt to escape the drudgery, isolation, and lovelessness of life on her parents' farm. I guess you could say Pearl is just cultivating her own unique brand of farm-to-table horror, but will her ambitions harvest fame or just a few bloody pitchforks? Join us as we dig into the gritty soil of this 2022 hit, Pearl.
But you only get one take at this life.
If only they would just die.
Pardon?
I will not let you leave this farm again.
I want to be loved from as many people as possible. But truth is, I'm not really a good person.
Welcome and yeehaw. My name is Cameron.
And I'm Adam.
I had to throw that one in there for this setting.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, that intro before that trailer just took me 20 years. But we're here now and we're going to be talking about Pearl.
Pearl.
Which is a more recent A24 horror film.
It is.
So.
Shall we?
Without further ado. Let's wiggle details into those film details. It's going to come in at number 33 on our top 50 horror films of all lists. What is wrong with me today? Goodness.
I wish you guys could hear all of the mistakes. No, actually, I don't wish you guys could hear all the mistakes because you would make fun of us so bad.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe one day.
We'll release that would the 20-hour uncut version.
Okay. Number 33 on our top 50 horror film list. Sure. Yeah. The title of this one is Pearl. Came out in 2022. It is classified as a horror, drama, and thriller.
Mm.
It's rated R, which kind of surprises me because I found it quite mild.
Yeah. Except, well, other than...
Just kidding. It's like pretty, you know, pretty
like,
violent.
Yeah, no, it's like not that bad. And then I'm like, wait a second.
The director is Ty West, and he directed X, which is connected to this film. Just takes place after the events of Pearl, which is a really bad way of saying Pearl is the prequel to X. And he also did The House of the Devil and The Innkeepers, which I have not seen. The writers for this film, we have Ty West and Mia Goth. I did not know she helped write this. That's pretty cool. Star cast members, we have Mia Goth as Pearl. And then we have David Corenswet as the projectionist, who will also be the new Superman in James Gunn's adaptation.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew he looked familiar. I've never seen him in a movie. And he looked familiar, and that's what he's from. I've seen him on Twitter.
He beat Jacob Elordi then, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sure did. And then Tandy Wright as Ruth, who is Pearl's mother.
Mm-hmm.
As far as awards, it won Best Independent Film at the 2024 Saturn Awards. And then Mia Goth was nominated for Best Actress. And Ty West was nominated for Best Film Writing at the Saturn Awards.
Hmm.
As far as ratings go on IMDb, it has a good 7.0. So 7. Rotten Tomatoes, 93%. Letterboxd, 3.8 out of 5. Financials on the film, the budget was about $1 million, which, you know, it only came out like 2 years ago,
so
it wasn't. I looked it up, and it was not worth, you know, calculating.
1.005.
And then at the global box office, it made $9.7 million, and filming took about 24 days.
$1 million budget, really not a lot.
Really
I mean,
not
for films today,
for sure.
Box office, not a lot either.
No
$10 million.
No, which I know, I guess, because they filmed this one right after X, they were able to use the same setting, like all the props and
interesting.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's cool. Well, thank you for those details,
of course.
Cam. Shall we summarize this bad boy?
Yeah, if only somebody had a summary for us.
I know. I wish somebody had spent countless hours writing
Adam.
A summary.
We do this joke every week.
I know. Okay. Pearl is a horror film directed by Ty West that serves as a prequel to his earlier film, X, as Cameron so wonderfully stated. Set against the backdrop of rural Texas during World War I, the film explores the life of Pearl, a young woman with dreams far bigger than the confines of her family's isolated farm. Pearl yearns for fame and the glamour of the outside world, feeling trapped and stifled by her strict parents and the monotonous farm life. As the story unfolds, Pearl's desperation to escape her reality and achieve stardom grows increasingly intense. She becomes obsessed with the idea of leaving her current life behind for one of recognition and adulation. However, her aspirations and the reality of her situation are worlds apart, leading to frustration and a deep sense of entrapment. Pearl's journey takes a dark turn when her obsession pushes her to commit horrifying acts. Her actions are driven by a mix of desperation, the influence of societal expectations, and her distorted perception of reality. The film explores the lengths to which Pearl is willing to go in pursuit of her dreams, painting a portrait of a deeply troubled and ambitious young woman. So, obviously left out a lot of incidents that happened in the film.
Right.
Pearl pretty much kills everyone.
Yep.
Spoiler.
Yep.
So,
Goose or human is safe.
Goose to human.
Yep. She's got them all.
that's the spectrum for Pearl. So, there's no one untouched pitchfork.
No one was safe.
Everyone will see her pitchfork when they die. So,
well, thank you for that, Adam.
Of course.
I feel like I know the movie so much better now.
I'm so glad I could help. After you just watched it yesterday.
Yeah, less than like 24 hours ago.
Hey, let's break this bad girl down.
Let's break her down. Talking about our guidelines for what classifies a good horror movie, starting with our favorite scenes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I did not...
You didn't say the intro.
Say the intro.
Okay, well, I did, actually.
You start them.
And here's the reason.
Okay. I loved the intro.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't let myself say it this time.
I know. And it feels so basic, so bear with me, everyone. But I was going to say, like, it just off the bat, especially coming from a film like Aliens.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, Aliens intro is, like, unmatched. But, like, this one, it's just like, okay, Ty West is setting this apart.
Yeah.
As like, it's going to be cinematic. It's going to be art house. It's going to be classic, you know, filmmaking
Technicolor,
style. Yeah. Big strings and orchestra. And it's like, you have the spotlight on Pearl and it's like everything in her mind. It's like what she wants. And like she's dancing in the mirror and it's just like all together. Like,
that, yeah.
So great. And then you have like these opening credits that feel very nostalgic. You have the lighting is very intentional right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like classic cinema, almost like the start of A Sound of Music or something.
Totally. Yeah.
So, and you know, it's going to be like just absolutely
a disaster.
So dark.
Yeah.
So I appreciated it. It's not the best intro of all time, but it kind of sets itself apart right off the bat.
I really liked it as well. I pretty much everything you just said, because it does set itself up as kind of a nostalgic classic film. Even though it was made in 2022, which is kind of fun, kind of paying homage to the originals, but
and the stark contrast between this and X, because like this is so different,
very different, yeah,
style than X.
Yeah, it is fun, kind of how he's playing with different genres, because the X felt very like 70s slasher vibes, and then this was more like old, like 1920s. Well, I guess it's set in like 1918.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, he kind of plays with that. And then the next one's in the 80s, Maxine. Comes out this summer, I think.
Yeah,
so,
which we were just talking about the cast of that. Looks insane.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know it was that freaking stacked.
Kevin Bacon, though.
Yeah, like, that's really
that's
random.
A little weird.
Yeah.
But Halsey and then Lily Collins.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that one. My first one, and I'm ashamed to say it, I did really enjoy the scarecrow scene, as strange as that is to say.
Dude, 100%.
Because I really feel like you already saw her at this point, I'm pretty sure, kill like the goose and feed it to her gator or whatever. Which, you know, she's not in her right mind. But here, she takes the scarecrow off his post, you know?
Yeah.
Starts doing stuff with dances the scarecrow. With yeah, the she scarecrow. Dances with him. But then she just screams
starts
like...
making out with the scarecrow.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm married, and like freaks out on him.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. First
she's
of all,
psycho.
You jumped onto him. He was just minding his own business.
He was just scaring some crows.
Scaring some crows. And she straddled that bundle of hay into the dirt, might I add. But, so it was kind of her
fault.
I love
how you so romantically put it.
But she really just unleashes here kind of that hidden chaos. And you're like, wow, she's crazy. So I thought it was strange, but insightful. So I enjoyed that scene.
Yeah.
You kind of got to see what we're really dealing with here.
Yes. She's psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I said the same thing. Before that, I actually said Pearl bathing butt naked in front of her crippled dad.
Oh,
I'm totally kidding.
I was like, that's not for me. I mean, it didn't show it, which I was surprised because X is so sexually graphic. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't show that, but yeah, I'm kind of glad.
I know.
You know, because that made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, very comfortable.
She just takes a bath in front of her dad.
And he's crippled and he can't do anything.
Yeah. And they
it's just weird.
Address how weird it is because the mom walks in and sees her in the bath. Kind of like, what the heck? And she's like, I didn't want to waste the hot water. It's like,
yeah,
you know what you're doing.
Yeah, but then her mom's like, just kind of chilling.
Yeah, her mom was, like, she was weird.
A little weird. I did kind of like Pearl going into town the first time.
Me too.
Sitting in the theater.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a scene. It was more like a
drinking the medicine and stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just kind of kidding about the bath. My real next one is.
Yeah, me too. Totally.
Yeah, no, I don't think about it ever.
Ew. Gross.
The dinner argument scene.
Oh, that was
so
my
just
next
jumping
one.
Ahead, obviously, yep. Which is kind of, I mean, that's a huge part of the film, but it's like halfway through the film.
Yeah.
So her mother and her start getting into this argument. She wants to join this dance troupe, and her mother's like, no, you have to stay on the farm. And then they just start, you know, going on and on. The mother ends up, like, she pushes her mom into the fireplace,
mm-hmm.
and her mother catches on fire.
Yep.
And like burns almost to death. She's still alive, but she's like on the ground, like singed. She drags the mother down the stairs to the basement and just leaves her there.
So brutal.
Then she just leaves her crippled dad sitting at the dinner table and like just
mortified.
Leaves the house to go to town.
Literally.
And you're
she
like,
has sex with the projection.
Goes to town on the projection.
So,
and she goes
nice
to
the choice
old
of
town.
Words, Adam.
Hey, just romantic words today. From the chamber.
As always.
Yeah.
I said the exact same thing. It was so intense, the argument between them. I felt like I was there and I just wanted to disappear. Yeah. Like, it just made you so uncomfortable, as did many other scenes in this movie. But the way, they like yell at each other and then they're like clawing at each other. It's just like, you know, it's just like a lot to digest, but I also love it. That makes it not in like a weird, like, I'm not a psychopath, guys. But it was just like a lot. And it was like so intense that I was nervous and I enjoyed feeling that way because I almost feel like after all these horror films, like I'm almost desensitized in a way. Like I don't get that feeling a lot. And so I was definitely like, man, I'm nervous right now. Like I hate how tense this is, but like that's how you know it's effective. So
yeah,
I thought it was really good.
I totally agree.
Next.
Her lover dude, which is the projectionist.
Superman.
Coming to her farm. Yeah, we can just call him Superman from now on.
Yep.
So she freaks out for the first time. Well, I mean, she didn't really freak out in the argument with her mom.
Yeah.
She just kind of does weird things.
Yeah.
Like dragging her down to the basement. But she's not, like not emotionally freaking out. So she freaks out on the projectionist slash Superman.
Which is so effective.
Which is just, oh my gosh. She just like flips a switch. And she's like, did I do something wrong? And he's like, no. And she's like, why'd you go cold? And then she's like, why don't you love me?
Yeah. Like she just goes from 0 to 100.
Yes. And then she kills him right before he leaves with the pitchfork.
Classic.
As he's about to drive off. And then like right after that, just goes and suffocates her dad with the pillow. So she's like, you know, might as well while I'm killing people.
She just was feeling it, you know?
Golly. Just, 180.
What did I do wrong?
Nothing. Calm
down. No!
I do like you. I just...
Tell me the truth! Why are you leaving me? What did you say? Why did you change?
You're scaring me, Pearl.
I loved how tense that whole scene was because, I mean, it's not that I love the projectionist, but like, you know, he seems like a classic artsy guy just trying to make his way in the world. And so you are like, man, I don't want you to die. And so it's very tense because you know she just killed her mom and he hears the sounds that the mom is making in the basement and she's like, oh, it's our dog. Then you could see him piece it all together. And when she freaking loses it, shows you that she's truly cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And it's like rough, dude. It may, again, the best words I can describe are just like nervous and uncomfortable and tense. Like it's so And I think what's at least something that stood out to me in that scene is like he seemed to be responding well, like in a way to where you're like, oh, he may get out of there, you know? But she was like emotionally intelligent enough to be like, no, you're going cold. Like I can tell. And like, oh, that was like made her scarier because she's like smart enough to pick up on those things.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, when she just goes off on him, so good, first of all, on Mia Goth's part.
Gosh.
But yeah, then he gets the pitchfork to the chest and
yeah, twice.
Yeah, I guess we just can't always get what we want.
I know.
Can't go to Europe.
Yeah, no, he doesn't go to Europe. He goes right into the, oh, and then she drives his dead body in car right into the lake where the alligator gets him.
Yep.
So
yeah, it wasn't fun for him.
Part of that scene that was so weird when she's trying to make out with him on the bed.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And her crippled dad's just downstairs and he hears the knocking in the basement and you're like, if I was in this position.
Yeah.
You're like, this is the weirdest thing ever.
I thought that too. And that honestly plays into like production design, I feel like, because like the setting is very unnerving because it looks like a wholesome farmhouse, but you're like, that almost makes it worse. Like it's during the day, this cute little farmhouse, and you're just like, ugh, I hate this setting right now.
Gross.
It feels really off.
Yeah.
Jumping a little bit, well, maybe not too far because it was the same day technically in the movie, but the dancing scene, like her audition.
Her audition, yeah.
First of all.
Yeah.
She ate that up.
Oh my gosh.
The judges did her dirty because she freaking killed it. But I think the way like she's stone cold going in, like she's like, I have to be the winner. Mm-hmm. And she's like telling, you know, her sister-in-law this when they're waiting outside and her sister-in-law is kind of trying to be all, you know, friendly about it. She's like, no, I will win. Goes in there stone cold. And then immediately just turns it on. She's got that like super unnerving smile. Mm-hmm. And it's just so like creepy to look at. But she's also killing this dance number. Very entertaining for me. I really enjoyed that. Then adding when they told her no, you're like waiting for it. Like,
what is she going
to
do?
Yeah, like what does she do? Again, it makes you very tense and nervous. Like, how is she going to respond to this? Because this was like her way out.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she like screams and freaks out. And again, I thought her like cry, scream, you know, combination there was so good. Because it was so like, she's just so crazy and she plays it so well. So I really enjoyed that.
I totally said the same thing. I said Mia's acting is so freaking good. And honestly, like you said, at this point, you just realize how unpredictable she is, which makes it so anxiety inducing and unnerving. And you're like, I literally have no idea what she's going to do. Like she could jump off the stage and kill all the judges.
I wondered that for a second. I was like, is she about to kill everyone in there?
I know.
But she didn't.
Also the judge panel turning into her dad, mom, husband, and projectionist.
That was cool.
And all of them were dead except for obviously her husband who's off at war. Pretty wild. That was a cool artsy move.
Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
My next one was when sweet old take her home to mama Mitzi takes her back to the house. She's devastated. She just lost. Mitzi's trying to cheer her up and she kind of encourages her to like open up and share how she feels and like pretend like I'm Howard, who's her husband off at war. Like, just tell me everything. And then we get
Pearl's monologue,
which I saw and I've heard about before seeing this movie, but it delivered because it was so good. Like, the writing, first of all, paired with Mia's acting, I think is just a beautiful scene. Yeah. And it just holds on her for one entire shot. And I think it makes it a little more tense because you don't know how Mitzi is receiving any of this because you can't see her.
They don't cut to her reaction.
And you're just like listening. It's probably like 5-6 minutes, maybe even more. I don't know.
I know the exact timing.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Yeah.
Is that in the Fact Force later? Not Fact Force.
No, I put it in this section too.
Oh, okay.
So
how long was it?
It goes for 7 minutes and 57 seconds, consists of 17 shots, and the last shot goes for 5 minutes and 36 seconds.
Wow. That's
which
crazy.
Is a long time for a film.
Totally. Yeah, I just thought that whole scene was really good. And then, of course, it does finally, after, I guess, 7 minutes and 50-something seconds, pans to Mitzi, and Mitzi just looks like, holy crap.
Like her soul has left her
body.
Yeah,
like, what just happened?
Well, dude, like, just throughout that monologue, how Mia's tone and emotions, it's like a roller coaster. It's not like gradually building and then like reaches a climax. It's like up and down. It's like so all
Again,
over the place.
Very unpredictable. Like she's just all over the place.
Yeah. Mitzi's like about to leave and she's like, are you going to tell anybody? And then she asks, or she says the compliment about, like, I'm glad you made it in. And Mitzi's like, it didn't. She's like, don't lie to me.
I know.
And you're like, oh my gosh. Because
again, I thought Mitzi might get out of there because she was being nice to her. She's like, no, I won't tell anybody. Like, I got you. And she seems like to be receiving that well. But then she's like, oh, and congrats for winning. And I don't think she did.
No, she was obviously she was like, oh, no, I didn't win.
No, I genuinely like, didn't win. She's like, you're lying to me.
Don't lie to me.
I just felt very like.
And then Mitzi's like trying to go along with it. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, thanks. It's going to be so fun. And she's like,
"And that's
you always get what you
that's
want.
That's what got her killed. So there was it's a lose-lose for Mitzi.
No, yeah, Mitzi was not getting
it's not happening.
I can't be all by myself anymore. It's too hard. We can love each other. I'll do that for you. If you really meant all that, till death do us part. It'd be enough. Just you and me here on this farm. All I really want is to be loved.
Also, I thought Mitzi, like, drove her or something. No, I was like, did they?
Yeah, I wondered that too, because
I guess that's more of like a what?
I think they rode up. I know someone had to. There was the bike, but like they were both, like not both of them were on the bike, right? I don't know. I also was under the impression she drove her and then could have just driven out of there, but
she didn't.
She didn't.
Well, maybe that's the thing that doesn't make any sense.
She didn't get out of there.
She didn't get out of there. I said the same thing. And then my next one was the end. Mm-hmm. Pearl brushing her dead mom's hair and a piece of her scalp coming off.
Hated and loved that detail.
Oh my gosh. And then Pearl sitting her dead mom and dad around the dinner table.
Yep.
With the freaking rotting pig.
Yep.
Just wild.
Chopping up Mitzi. Like,
oh my gosh. That's right. Like beating her to the alligator.
Like, it was so close up. Like it's and again, it shows broad daylight. Close up shots of her like cutting off arms and then her head and it like holds.
And it shows everything.
Yeah. It did not hold back. So no. I was like, holy crap. This is rough.
That's the very end. So Pearl does not have a good ending.
No. So. Unless you really love Pearl, which I've come to find out a lot of people really root for Pearl.
No way.
Yeah. A lot of people love Pearl. Like I saw like in the 10 star reviews, like a lot of people are like, I relate so much to this woman.
They like, need to be arrested. Well,
that's scary.
No.
And also the ending when Howard comes home.
Yes.
I loved that because you get the classic, like her holding that stare, and it kind of just gets increasingly disturbing because he comes in, he just got back from the war. He's like, kind of pulls the old honey, I'm home kind of thing.
Yep.
Walks and sees her parents sitting around the table, and then she's like, I'm so glad you're home. And he turns and sees her, and it just holds on her face as the credits start rolling. And,
which is Howard the name of her husband and ex?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he does stay with
they
her.
They end up, yeah.
That's so weird.
I mean,
because he was like,
he seemed creeped out.
Creeped out.
But he helps her kill people later, so I don't know.
That's true.
Yep.
Interesting. Concept. Dude, Ty West approaching this as an art house film combined with the style of classic filmmaking, I thought was a great move.
Yep.
And I saw this description from someone. It said, Pearl is a cautionary tale about the dark side of the American dream, exploring how a combination of isolation, societal pressure, and personal ambition can lead to a destructive path. The film leaves viewers with a haunting reminder of the cost of dreams when they turn into obsessions. So if that was Ty West's goal, I think that that's taking a pretty surface level concept and making it, you know, American Psycho-esque.
Totally. I said the same thing. I said, you know, you kind of, when you pick it apart and just look at what's there, it's really not the most like creatively unique concept, but he made it his own thing, almost like we talked about James Cameron and Aliens, like coming in and making it kind of his own thing. Yeah, that like pursuit of, you know, the dream. And like, we don't honestly have a lot of, I feel like, female led slasher films either. Like, I mean, you have like, I can think of a couple, you know, antagonists, but like, she, I think, just really took it to another level where she's just purely just psychotic. She's so unhinged. You have this young farm girl. Wanting, like you said, wanting to be a dancer and like be up on the stage and wanting to be a star. And like that whole concept was really fun for me. So I think, and yeah, the whole like old Hollywood feel, you know, being kind of braided in was just a really interesting concept for me. So I thought it was quite good.
I agree. Director's touch.
I really thought he killed it on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think his vision for the film really paid off. It's so over the top, but I think that's like the special sauce. You know, like
his purpose.
That's what he was set out to do. And the setting, the character, her motives. It's just so creatively enriching. Mm-hmm. And I thought it obviously wouldn't be what it is without him. So
yeah,
good for you.
And I said, I know he's been around for a while, but he's one to keep your eye out for, especially now.
Yeah, for sure.
X wasn't really my favorite, but after Pearl, I feel like he has a lot of potential as a director.
Totally. I'm really interested to see where Maxine goes.
Dude, I was just about to say, I'm so curious how it's going to end up.
I'll be there night one for sure.
Yeah. Acting. Mia freaking Goth, dude.
Holy guacamole.
Holy Gothamole.
So freaking good. I just was not expecting that level of like a performance. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be good, but not like that good.
Well, especially in horror films nowadays, you just rarely get something that
totally
elevated.
Yeah.
And I made a note, she's going to end up being one of the greats if she keeps up performances like that.
Yeah.
She carried this film on her back.
Totally. And I know she's like, I've seen her in X and Infinity Pool and then this. I'd love to see her, and this is a horror review podcast, but like break out of the horror mold and try something. Like I want to see how she is in like a different setting because she is really good at being like psychotic and crazy. But I would love to see her kind of take on a different kind of role. But like
apparently she's in Emma. I've never seen Emma.
I haven't seen Emma either.
Yeah.
I'd love to see her though because I want more of her on screen because she was so captivating. Mm-hmm. She's so good. And if the Oscars weren't so weird about horror, I'm not throwing it out there, but at least a contender for a nomination because what I saw there yesterday was like, I think at least worth considering for that. But
yeah, and I know the 10 stars talk a lot about that too.
Totally.
Her mom though, who's her mom? What's her mom's name again?
Tandy Wright.
Yep. I thought she did really well too.
I did too.
I mean, she's not German.
Really?
Yeah. So she just, she picked up that accent. I know. Like, so she killed it.
Yeah.
And I thought the projectionist, I thought he did all right for his role.
Like he did good.
He wasn't like a notable character or anything. No. So.
I don't think he really had, you know,
the ability to shine.
Yeah. But I do think he did good with what he had. Yeah. He doesn't stand out. I mean, the mom, I think, and Pearl stand out the most for me. They're just so good.
I know.
So.
Screenplay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think anyone who watches this movie probably knows that.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And the fact that Goth co-wrote this, I think totally helped shape Pearl. Yeah.
The monologue, like we've already talked about, is just so flavorful though. I think, and it even tells you things that like you didn't know beforehand. Like she mentions like how she was pregnant and you're like, what? Like I didn't know that part. And then how like it died and the way she handled that and felt about it and among many other things. And so just adding those details, it was just really, I loved the writing. There were a few lines too where I was like, oh, that was a freaking bar.
Yeah.
So
totally agree. I did make a couple notes because there were a few lines that I thought were just a little too perfect, which again, the film is a melodramatic film, I would say. So it's not like I'm like critiquing this. Like I feel like this is part of that.
I do have one, so I'm going to see if we said the same thing.
Okay. Well, there was one that was maybe more in the delivery from the projectionist rather than the actual line. She says, it sounds like a dream.
Yes!
No way.
Totally. Yep.
That's
I said
crazy.
The exact same thing. And
he was
says,
so
like,
fast. He
unless
says,
you wake up or something like that.
He says, let's hope I don't wake up.
Yeah.
Like so fast. And you're like,
a little too witty there,
a little
my
too
boy.
Witty. Like right off the bat. She's like, sounds like a dream. He's like, let's hope I don't wake up. Like, right. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was fast.
All right, Wes Anderson. And we're trying to, no. That's crazy.
Wes Anderson needs to make a horror film.
That would be crazy.
It might be the best or worst thing ever. I don't know.
Could you imagine?
Oh, I think he could do a good job.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Anyways.
Score.
Really enjoyed the music.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Pairs very well with the cinematography, I think. And just continues to capture that old-timey feel.
It just felt so classic, very string heavy, which was fun. Cinematography, that was wonderful.
Really, really good.
I called out a few shots that I loved.
Ooh, okay.
The shot of her mom smashing wood with an axe and Pearl being behind the wood as soon as she splits the wood in the distance was so sick.
Oh, I didn't even
just fun
hone in on that.
The shot of her sneaking out and walking across
the
roof.
That was super. And the moon, like being put it, like that was,
just felt so artsy.
Very sick.
And then the wides of her riding her bike in front of the cornfield. Just, I loved all the wides.
What's so funny too is like, I wonder if the same cinematographer did, I mean, he must have, did X.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look, I mean, I've only seen X once though. So maybe if I watched it now, I could.
Well, compare, you know, the cinematographer is actually Mia.
I'm just kidding. You're about to blow my mind there.
She did all the parts of the
film. She was the only person on set.
She also goes by Ty West.
It just feels like a totally different movie to me. So it's impressive that it's like the same crew because it just doesn't even feel the same. But yeah, I really liked the cinematography. I felt like something else, like besides the colors, but the lighting was really deliberate, especially with like the dinner scene with the mom. I really enjoyed how that whole scene looked. A plus
from the chamber.
From the chamber.
I did add a note on production design because you already called it out. I mean, it's just so incredible. Everything about it.
Yep. I actually think I saw somewhere that the family who lives there, which I don't know if I could live in that house again.
No. But
I think they like kept some of the stuff.
Yeah. Some of the set. There.
Yeah. I think I read that somewhere. But
that's crazy. Yeah. Overall impact.
I think this is a great horror film.
I do too.
I'm very glad because I had a lot of people recommending this one and like asking if it was on our list. I will say, so I haven't told you this yet, but this is the first horror film I've seen in a while though, where I like left and felt like I'm in another world. You know, like nothing felt real. And that I love when that happens.
Yeah.
Because I don't see horror films anymore that make me, and it's not because it's like so scary. It was just such a dark, disturbing watch, like diving into her psyche. But like when I got in my car, it's like when you wake up from a nap and you're like really groggy and nothing just, everything just feels out of place.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt. Like I got my car just like, man, that was a wild ride.
Yep.
And then my wife called me right after, like I got in the car and I was like creeped out. And I told her this, which she got mad at me for later. Not like actually mad, but you know. And because I was like, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of creeped out right now. Like, because she was like, when are you going to get home? And I was like,
never.
Please don't talk to me. You're going to kill me, aren't you? But it was heavy, but I think, I guess that's not overall impact. That was my like thoughts leaving the film, but
hey, that's crazy though.
Yeah, I know. I don't get that very often, so I'm very glad. I think it's appreciated by a large majority of horror fans. I know, you know, a lot of people like it, and I think for good reason. I hope it stands the test of time, and I think her performance probably will.
I agree. I do think though, like it didn't get as much praise as I think it deserves.
No, I agree.
Especially her performance.
Yeah.
Like you even
especially her performance.
Already brought up the Academy.
Yeah, that was messed up.
This is, I'll save this for hot takes. Never mind. Moving on.
Oh, okay.
I have a little spicy. I have a few spicy takes. It's been a while since I've had some like actual spicy takes.
It's hard to find the real spice, you know?
Especially now that we're getting into like our favorite films. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, I hate this part. You know? Yeah. Okay, fact forest. Do you hear the owls?
I
okay. Make that joke every single time.
Yep.
All the random fun facts about the film and making in the film. Not all of them, just a handful of them. Okay. Allegedly.
Okay.
Pearl drew inspiration from the works of Douglas Sirk, Technicolor films like The Wizard of Oz 1939 and Mary Poppins 1964. And other Disney films.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So, interesting. All right. This next fact is insane. So, just prepare yourself.
Oh, man. I'm buckled.
The pornographic film shown to Pearl is a Free Ride, 1915. A real vintage stag film. The film's production is the subject of some debate. It surfaced in the 1970s and was at one point sold by a shady distributor as a hardcore D.W. Griffith from 1915, while silent film historian Kevin Brownlow has posted that it was made in the early 1920s. Not gonna lie, this fact made me pretty uncomfortable. Because is it not weird that theaters allowed them to show clips from this considering it's a pornographic film? Like it's a real pornographic film.
That feels like so wrong. I don't know why.
I thought surely it wasn't real, but I...
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, I guess they filmed it for this movie.
I am super confused by that.
So we just saw... I mean, those actors are either dead or like 100 years old at this point.
It was filmed in the early 1920s. So yeah, they're probably dead.
And we saw everything. And we saw...
Yeah.
I don't know why that's like really weirded me out right now. It
totally weirded me out. I didn't know that until I was doing BTS.
Obviously. Oh, man.
And I was just thinking like,
I thought for sure they filmed that for the movie.
That's what I was thinking.
They just took some really old porno. They took an
old, real pornographic film and showed clips from it. Which not like you don't ever see. You see, there's like one part of it. I'm not going to go into detail. Yeah, but there's like one part where it's like, okay, that looks pretty real.
Yeah.
But then there's like other parts where you don't really see anything. So you're just like, surely it's not real.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait.
Oh gosh.
I know.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's gross.
That is gross.
So I have more to say about that later.
Interesting.
Okay, next one. Ty West and Mia Goth collaborated on the script via FaceTime during a mandatory 2-week quarantine due to the COVID-19 pandemic in New Zealand prior to filming X. They'd only hoped A24 would agree to make the film. Fortunately, the project was greenlit before filming began on X.
Wow.
So.
That's kind of fun.
I know.
I'd love to be on those Zoom meetings.
I know. That'd be awesome. Tandy Wright, who plays Pearl's mother, was the intimacy coordinator on X.
Shut the front door.
And was offered the role of Ruth as the shoot on the first film was wrapping up. According to Ty West, she learned German for the role in a hurry and became so convincing in her accent that she fooled 2 German members of the crew.
Oh my gosh. So they were just like, hey, you want to be in this movie?
And speaking of intimacy coordinator, I'm like, that's a lot for the movie X.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
They're like, hey, you're just really good at this.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, interesting.
Wow. Well, she killed it, man. So props to her.
Yeah. Next, Pearl's alligator is named Theta after Theda Bara or Bara. Okay. Who was an American silent film actress and one of cinema's earliest sex symbols. Viewers may notice a poster of Theda Bara is displayed on the exterior of the picture house that Pearl regularly frequents.
Hmm.
So, fun little Easter egg. And then it was originally meant to be filmed in black and white, but A24 was against it, so it was made in extremely vivid color. Mia Goth claims another reason for the switch from black and white to bright colors was that the team felt like films being made in that way had become its own thing, and she and Ty West wanted to do something different and unique.
Wow. I think I'm glad it's not black and white.
No, I think it'd be so different.
Yeah.
All right, my last one. Pearl's deranged smile that carries on through the end credits was unplanned, with Ty West refusing to call cut and let the emotions play out. Mia Goth's smile becomes more strained. A tear falls down her face, and she even does an impatient head shake as she waits for him to call cut. This smile at the end lasts for 1 minute and 51 seconds.
So that was not planned?
No. She just improvised that as he just didn't call cut, which I realized this time watching it, she starts looking off screen at Howard and then slowly breaks the fourth wall and is looking into the camera. So you just know she thought the scene was over, but continues acting, looking at the camera.
Oh man, I really want to rewatch that. Dude, now that I know that.
And that's a notable scene. Like people are like,
it's huge. And so she was like getting like irritated, like, dude, call cut.
But she's also like crying too.
Yeah, she freaking killed that.
I know.
Like, my gosh, that honestly might be some of my favorite trivia for a film so far. That was a lot.
That is crazy.
A lot to digest.
Dude.
That was cool though.
Some wild BTS.
Wow. Okay. Wow. How do I go on from there?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So we'll take a pause. Come back after the commercial.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Remember in episode 1 when we did a commercial for Gucci?
I don't remember that. That feels like 10 years ago.
Mishap Mountain.
I said for the first one, although set in 1918, the Ford Model T used in the film wasn't produced until 1926.
Yeah.
I'm sure you saw that one.
I did notice that in the film and I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, I was pissed.
This wasn't even available for 8 more years.
I tried.
The term X Factor said during the audition scene was not common slang in 1918. Merriam-Webster states its first use was in 1930.
Another one that we
were like, come on.
I know that wasn't a word until 1930. That was kind of a funny, like, I know what they're trying to reference there. Hey, X Factor.
Gotcha.
Yep. And the X on the stage. Yeah. Same lines, but the movie Palace Follies that Pearl goes to see at the theater has accompanying sound and music. Given that Pearl is set in 1918, this is about 8 years too early. Although experimental short films sound had been shown as early as 1894, there were no feature-length movies with synchronized sound before Don Juan was released in 1926. Of course, given Pearl's troubled mental state, she may have simply imagined the music.
Interesting.
Yep. No music.
No music.
Yep.
So it was silence.
Silence.
Okay.
That's all I had.
That's all I have. We're here for the changes
chamber. Oh, yeah.
Is there anything that doesn't make any sense?
That was kind of creepy. This one, I will say this was hard.
It was
because I think the film is more simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everything feels intentional. So it was hard to find things that really, you know, bother me. But one thing that didn't make a ton of sense to me, and I saw somebody else say this too. She has this pet alligator.
Okay, I feel like you're about to say the same thing that I put.
Actually, I had two alligator notes, so I'm sure one of those are the one you're thinking of.
I only have one, so.
But she goes out and she feeds things to the alligator in the pond. It's like her little pet,
like
including
goose.
People she kills.
Including goose and human.
And humans alike. So knowing this, I was just curious, like, why did she go off and crush one of the alligator's eggs? Like, she takes one of the eggs and, like, betrays her little friend. You know, she obviously loves the gator.
Yeah.
So I guess for me, it just felt like that was blending a hair into the like realm of shock factor. Like it's just kind of added for like, oh, she's crazy. But like, I was like, why'd you, you know, maybe she is just, you know, no one's safe, even her friends. So
even her friend,
the gator. So I don't know. That one just felt like forced. But if that's a problem, then we're fine. You know, it's not the end of the world. But I had another one on the alligator, so I'm interested to hear if it's what you said.
I actually have another one on the alligator. As soon as the projectionist hears Pearl wish her parents were dead, he just brushes it off.
Yeah. I didn't think about
that. Dude, and I'm like, if I ever heard anyone say that, like, I wish they would just die so I could, like, move on, like, I'd be like, I'm not going to be around you anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
let alone go back to.
Yeah. And like make out with them and let them stay the night. Like,
that's true.
I don't know.
I think that's fair.
That was my first one. I thought that was like, eh.
Yeah, I get that. My next one is related to the gator.
Oh.
Okay. So she has this dad who is stuck to a wheelchair. And she was like, I'm going to sacrifice this guy because I'm tired of taking care of him.
Yeah.
So she wheels him out to the like little deck. And the alligator starts swimming up and the dad, you can see on his face, like he knows what's about to happen. It's like tense and whatever. But then the mom walks up and then the gator just disappears.
Just and like, gone.
Yeah. And it's like, A, that's not how any alligator would truly, you know, they're not smart enough to be like, oh, I'm just going to sink down. You know, dare I say, sake of the plot. But
sake of the plot, for sure.
I was like, come on, that's not how that would happen.
I literally said the same thing. It's just like creeping up, about to eat him, and just disappears out of nowhere. Like it's afraid of the mom or something.
Yeah.
My last one, Mitzi gets stabbed in the back twice.
Yeah.
And just keeps running.
Yeah.
She's also crying, but not like crying in pain, which this is more of an acting thing.
Yeah. I didn't love that actually, the death for Mitzi. I thought it was not cool. I'm going to sound like a freaking serial killer.
I know.
Watching her like get rid of the body was like gross and disturbing, but like that's what made it more interesting to me. But her dying, I thought was like,
yeah, I totally agree. It was just like kind of anticlimactic. Yeah. And I was also like, she gets hit with an axe and just like
keeps
going. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
you're like a little petite girl, like, no way,
yeah.
So,
well, I guess adding to that, the car bike situation, like,
yeah.
Regardless, I know the bike is there when she's leaving. Whether she did bring a car there, maybe it's not there anymore. Who knows? That could be a problem. But homegirl decides to pull a freaking Jurassic World on us and run in high heels. And it's like, homie, if you are going to run instead of taking the bike,
take
those bad boys off. Let the dogs out. Run for your life. But she's trying to run away in these high heels and it's so like dumb. It's like, what are you doing? And I know horror movies have those moments where you're like, I wouldn't have done that. But that one I felt was a little unforgivable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you're not getting away in those Bad Boys.
No.
But whatever.
She almost deserves it at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say it, but you know,
we're all thinking
you kind of brought it on yourself. So,
oh man. Is there anything we would change about the film? You know what's funny is my first note was I would change Mitzi's death.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would maybe have her just walk out of the house nonchalantly.
Mm.
And Pearl just runs already holding the axe and just like,
yeah,
right. Could, like one hit.
I could picture that.
So like Mitzi doesn't see her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like she like walks out of the house and then you hear like,
oh yeah.
And then she turns around and just like axe.
Totally. Totally. I think that would have been better. The only thing, yeah, that I liked, I did like her walking out of that, not Mitzi, Pearl walking out of the house and like kind of watching her and pulls the axe out
that,
of the,
yeah.
That was cool. And then everything after that, I was like, you lost me. Yeah. That I think would have been better. We should have been on set.
I know. We could have helped.
Said that 100 times. Maybe one day it'll work.
Or Pearl grabs a ninja star.
She's been training.
She's been training.
The art of the samurai.
And then she does a dance kick.
Something else, because it just looked kind of silly to me. I hate to say it because it's such a beautiful film for the most part. But like the way they're running, the way she's reacting to get hit, like getting hit in the back with an axe, it just like felt weird. Yeah. So yeah.
Totally agree.
Okay, I'm going to sound like a hater. I think I'd remove the gator as a whole. Same complaint I had for X, although I wasn't as opposed to it in this film. Like, I didn't feel like the gator was as over the top in this one as it was in X. I really didn't like its
agreed
part. But that's really about it.
Yeah.
Not too much other than, yeah, Mitzi's death.
It just feels like, it's like, oh, it's
yeah,
there.
It's,
and it's to add another level of like, kind of weird, crazy.
She's this formidable villain that has a pet gator.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. It's like her sidekick, you know?
Yeah, basically.
It's like what Naked Mole Rat to Kim Possible is.
Exactly.
My next note, which obviously you would have had to know this to write this, but don't use a real pornographic clip in the film.
Mm, yeah.
I was talking to Caleb because Caleb, one of our friends, watched it with us too.
Yeah.
And no, he even said, like, no one's going to know if it's real or not. So just make something fake that alludes to it. Like, I personally don't think it's appropriate to subject your audience to watching that if they're there to see something that's fake.
Yeah.
Because if they find out that it's real, then it makes them feel weird. You're like, I didn't want to watch that if it was real.
Yeah, like, I get that.
I don't know.
Just can't get over the old people. Now, they weren't old in the film, but now it's like really...
Yeah.
That's sticking to me a little bit. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I think that's a really fair assessment because you can't assume that everyone is, you know, down to just, you know, down to party like that.
Yeah.
You know,
here's another example of, you know, different, obviously, but we have a friend named Robert Kelly.
Oh, gosh.
Rob is the best.
Rob is the best.
I love Rob to death. So Rob has the wildest ideas ever.
Yeah.
He's our idea guy.
Yeah, that's his thing.
So we were talking about short films that we're going to tackle this year and next year for our team. And Rob has this idea to legitimately cut off his pinky on film.
This is coming back to me.
And I was like,
yes, I remember this conversation.
And I was like, Rob, we can't subject our audience to watching something like that if it's real. He's like, they're not going to know it's real. It's going to look amazing, like practical effects. I'm like, no, it's going to freak people out if they realize that it's real.
Yeah, I'm passing out.
Like, that's not fair to subject your audience to something that's real.
Which, yeah.
Unless it's a documentary.
I could see maybe if you're like, you know, because I'm not assuming. I think it's safe to assume Ty West, and maybe, you know, who knows? Like, maybe Ty West isn't a Christian. And I'm not saying that that is like where this is all coming from, but
yeah,
I could see maybe through his lens, he's like, it's all the same. You know, like, it's naked and it's sex and it's like, you know, porn or made up for the movie, doesn't matter. I could see that, but I do think you should have a little more consideration for your audience. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be like a nitpicky, but like, I totally agree. I think, because like, I, before knowing that, like, it wasn't as bad as now knowing that it was like an actual pornographic film.
And even like us being Christians aside,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
there are people who aren't Christians who don't agree with pornography.
That's true. Like, yeah.
Because there are a lot of...
Wait, I thought it was only a Christian
thing. No, it's only... No, it's... Yeah, because...
And babies come out of mom's bellies?
Oh my gosh, I know. But there's like... Even with like the slave trade and stuff. Like there's a lot of raunchiness in that industry that you just have no idea. And like sex trafficking, it's a big deal.
For sure.
Anyway, all that said, I was like, no matter what it is, whether it's that or it's something else that's a little bit more like, like that's a gray area for your audience. Like if it's real, I wouldn't put it in a film.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. And yeah, I just still can't believe that was a real film.
So. And they're all probably dead. No, that's weird.
Yeah, very weird.
Okay, moving on. Casting. Mm. I can't think of a better cast other than maybe replacing Mitzi for acting at the end.
Totally.
But I think if you just change that situation, I'm fine with Mitzi.
Yeah, she did. I think everything else was pretty good. I'm glad I got to see, I said this earlier, David Corn Sweat, because I've never seen him in a film before. Obviously been a hot topic lately. So yeah. I was glad to see him in something before Superman because I am going to be excited for that. But it's fun to see him there. So I'm glad he was in it. Mia Goth, no way can you replace her. I can't picture anyone else pulling this role off like
she did. She's irreplaceable.
She's, like truly for that role. So I thought casting was great.
Least favorite part of the film.
Well, we've already talked about it quite a bit.
Mitzi's death?
Well, no. But that too. But I would say that's probably like my runner up. I said before I even knew this, I said them showing the porno after hours in the theater. It felt like kind of weird, you know, like
it was just unnecessary.
Yeah.
I made the same comment. That was my runner up.
Them trying to connect the film a little bit to X, I guess. But I don't know. It just like didn't have that effect on me. And instead, it just felt forced and kind of like, why am I watching this? Like, I don't really want to see that, you know? It just was kind of like, kind of took away from the rest of the movie for me.
And they showed like a lot of it. They didn't just show like a small clip of it.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not going to lie and say like, not every sex scene in a movie. Well, I'm not like advocating for sex scenes. I'm going to dig myself in the hole. But like, you know, I'm not one to be like, no sex scenes ever. Like, I do think sometimes
it can play into the plot.
You know, I'm like where I can... you know, find some tension or character development or something. This one just felt so just for the sake of being raunchy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just didn't care for it, but yeah, that was mine.
I agree. That was my second one. Okay. Title of the film and movie poster. This has become like one of my favorite sections. Actually. Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
It's fun to dissect.
Cause it's just like such a simple piece.
I know,
but it's like important, you know?
Title. What do you think?
Personally think the title is really fun only because when we hear the word pearl, we think like, shiny, pretty. And this film is just, I feel like everything opposite of that. Like it's just so brutal and unhinged and unpredictable. And so I think it's just kind of a fun contrast there. I do think you could have worked with a lot of other things. Like I do think the title could have been 100 other things that would have been equally as good, if not better. But
yeah,
I think it's, good as is. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I said I like it. I was trying to think of something better and I couldn't, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is it doesn't keep up with the theme of including an X.
Yeah,
because like Maxine has an X that's all capsed and then like X is just X.
Oh man, I wish you didn't say that.
So it's like Pearl X and the Maxine, which...
My brain's not going to be able to... let go of that. That's
so it needs to be like
crazy.
Perks.
Pearl X.
Just kidding. Pearl X. So yeah. Movie poster. I love the movie poster.
Really enjoy the movie poster. It's so freaking cool.
How the blood like makes the L.
Yeah. I feel like right now we're just in an era where like so many movie posters are like, they call them like the floating heads poster. Mm. Like, you know, something random. And I feel like this one was very intentional and I thought it was really good.
I agree.
I think it totally works.
What would be a worst name for the film title?
Oh, gosh.
I have five.
Five? I have two.
All right, you go.
I said for my first one, like, God, these are so dumb. The Wizard of Ooze. That's it.
That is so gross.
I just hate that word, but it came to me, so.
That's funny.
Second one, American Psycho 2, The Pitchfork Diaries.
Mm.
That's all I got.
Hey, that's good.
which is crazy. Did you hear about like how the Wizard of Oz? Well, A, I know they told Mia Goth to like watch the Wizard of Oz in preparation for the role and everything. But people have like drawn theories about like how it's connected because she's the Dorothy that's like somewhere over the rainbow, as in what else is out there for me. The mom, which I didn't notice this, but you know how she like catches fire and Pearl like dumps the water on her. So it's like the wicked witch. And then they're saying Mitzi is the Cowardly Lion. And then the projectionist is the Tin Man because she sees him as like cold and heartless. And then Mitzi is like seen as kind of like a cowardly. And she has the curls and the same bow.
And the Scarecrow.
And the Scarecrow is looks almost identical to the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz. So it's pretty interesting.
And then the alligator's Toto.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting too.
Interesting.
Anyways, your titles.
Okay. They're really bad.
Give them to me.
First one, Pitchfork Perfect.
Oh my gosh.
Number two, The Gator Gargle.
Gargle?
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to think of alliteration. Number three, Affleck.
Okay.
With the goose.
Okay.
Number four, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the White Pearl.
Oh my gosh.
You're unhinged, Adam. I know, that was bad.
You need to get on a leash.
And then number five, Sound of Nude Sick.
What? Oh my gosh.
So those are mine for you.
Love it. 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Anyways.
Okay. Hot takes hallway. Starting with our favorite views, our 1 through 10 stars. Starting with our 10 star.
My first one says, "But Your Honor, she's just a girl." My next one says, "Pearl is me, I am Pearl." And then my last one.
Oh my gosh.
I really use those because I saw a lot of comments saying like,
I relate.
Pearl is right.
That is crazy.
Anyways.
Unhinged.
My last one is more serious. "I can't add more to all the reviews already written about the movie and Goth's outstanding performance, but I'll just say that if you ever needed a reason to let Oscars die, this is it. The fact that, mediocre at best, Ana de Armas was nominated for her horrendous performance as Marilyn Monroe in Blonde, and Mia Goth was snubbed, should really be the final nail in the coffin for the joke commonly known as Academy Awards. It boggles my mind that Mia was not nominated. Her acting is phenomenal, and she was the heart and soul of this dance macabre film, and the fact she co-wrote the screenplay is a further testimony of her amazing talent. I chose that because I felt like I agree. Not so much, I can't say Ana de Armas because I didn't see Blonde.
Yeah.
But I do think it's crazy if you look at some of the other performances from that year. I do think Mia Goth should at least be nominated for that. And we haven't seen horror in the Oscars in recent years.
Dude, it's been a long
time. At all. I can't think. Did Get Out maybe get something? I don't know.
I think so.
But all that to say, I feel like we have not really seen, and I know they're always known for like ignoring horror for the most part. I just think back, I showed you Misery with Kathy Bates and she won Oscar for best lead, and like it can happen. And I think Mia Goth could have made it happen, but I don't know.
I know. All right. My first 10 star from I Love Sky and Dream. "Mia Goth always eat and left no crumbs, I swear. The last scene though." So.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks, I Love Sky and Dream.
Yep.
The next one is from Fantastical Chav on IMDb, titled "Technical Nightmare." "While I can see Pearl not being for everybody, this was the surprise film of the year for me after the Take It or Leave It X. Mia Goth especially turns in an Oscar-worthy performance as the lead, bringing a devastating sense of humanity to, for all intents and purposes, a despicable character. Also worthy of praise is Tandy Wright, who plays a trapped and unsupportive mother that keeps Pearl underneath her thumb. As the movie unfolds, the growing sense of tension between the two can make anybody who grew up with strict parents' stomach churn. Without going into any further plot details, the reason why I still go to the theaters is to try and discover / experience films like this on the big screen. Everything is impeccably shot, down to the color palette that emulates many classic Technicolor movies. The script is also tight and well-written. While I don't know if X superfans would love this entry in the trilogy, I think fans of character-focused films will find a lot to like here. One thing's for sure, though. This is going to be a tough act to follow for the final entry, Maxine."
All right. So, wow. That was very, I appreciated that one.
Solid review. But a lot of the 10 stars make note of how she got snubbed at the Academy level. Yeah.
Agreed.
1 stars.
Whew. Man.
Some spiciness in the 1 stars.
For sure. Yeah. As always. My first one said, female rage. Otherwise it sucked. Waste of my time. We live, laugh, love Mia Goth and her amazing performance in all caps. Though, lame plot.
Oh.
So yeah, I was, you know, kind of all over the place.
At least they made note of her performance.
Yeah, you know, they gave credit where credit's due. My next one. First time I ever saw Mia Goth act was in Infinity Pool, which I watched 2 days ago. I found her very annoying in that movie. Apart from not being able to act, I was shocked that she is 29 years old. I thought she was about 18. Sorry, but her baby voice is so irritating as well. So today I watched Pearl, and to my horror, Mia Goth is in this too. I just picture them like turning it on, like, no!
She's like the main character.
I know. I was hoping for some better acting, but it's the same old before. The movie itself is very talkative, and I had a problem staying awake. It's just not an interesting film when the lead is so unconvincing in the role. I can only assume the high IMDb score is due to Goth's teenage boy fans. I really struggled with the last 30 minutes. Just not for me. Pretty crazy to say the only reason it has a high score is because of teenage boy fans. I don't even know if they are out there.
I don't have words.
I think Mia Goth is just...
Gosh.
Saying she's unconvincing, that's like the worst word to use for her in this role.
That is insane. My first one from David Lopez on Letterboxd. Had a bad day and watching this made me angrier.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
The next one on IMDb from PB Starman, titled Cruelty to Animals.
Oh, no.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, no.
The opening scene shows an insinuated pitchfork killing of a goose and then shows the girl obsessed with being a star, carrying it on a pitchfork and feeds it to an alligator. Really? The director has to rely on cruelty to animals or the cliche of a girl being obsessed with being a star to make a movie? After seeing the scene, I could not watch this movie. That's like the first scene.
You turned it off after that?
It did not matter to me what this movie was about. Although it is clearly obvious that the obsessed girl will kill and do anything it takes to be a star. Really? As if American girls aren't totally brainwashed enough with being obsessed with being a star.
Wow.
Woof.
All right.
Okay.
Interesting.
I have one more.
Okay.
From Katia. This was very bad. Terribly written and looks like trash. Rips off visuals from so many greats. Carrie, Texas Chainsaw. But can't pull it off because everyone is dressed in H&M. Gestures vaguely to concepts like stardom and hysteria and being a woman without ever coherently connecting these ideas or incorporating them into the plot / characterization. I feel sort of crazy reading the mountain of positive reviews because the only person I can imagine watching this and enjoying it is a 12-year-old who has never seen a movie in their life.
Oh my gosh.
These 1-star reviews
are
some of the spiciest reviews I think I've read.
They feel very passionately about this.
Golly.
Which I hate to say, but like I just don't see eye to eye with them at all.
We're going to hate all the 1-stars from now on.
I know. That's, oh gosh, I can't even, when I, there are,
yes,
might have lost words already, but I know when we get to certain movies and I see those 1 stars, I'm going to freaking,
punch some walls. Do we have any hot takes about the film? I have a few spices.
I have like 2.
Okay.
My first one, I just said, and it's kind of cheating because it's loosely related to Pearl, but this is my window of opportunity, I guess, to just, and you already kind of said it. I personally really didn't like X. I could appreciate parts, but I was nervous for Pearl because I did not like X. And you know, I liked Pearl. So it worked out in the end. But that's completely unrelated to Pearl in a way. But I just didn't like that one. So this was a pleasant surprise because I thought it was like miles ahead of X. But that's 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I agree, actually. I don't think it's too spicy.
Yeah, that was about as mild as we can get around here.
Okay, this is gonna freaking, I know, probably one of my spices. All right, bear with me. I didn't love the color grading of the film.
Whoa.
The Technicolor, I know.
Wow.
I understand, okay. The goal is to make it more Technicolor. Like,
my
I know that's
butt sizzling on this couch
I
over
know,
here.
I know. but I just didn't love how contrasty it felt in certain moments.
Okay.
Like it felt too contrasty to me to where I was like, this doesn't even look like cinema. It just looks like I over-contrasted a photo on like,
okay.
That doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the whole film. There are moments that I was like, this looks very beautiful. Like honestly, like you said, the lighting in all of the indoor shots and the nighttime shots, I loved. It was during the day.
Yeah.
Whenever they're like on the farm and the grass is like so green and the red is so red and then their face is like really red.
I do disagree. However, the only time that I did notice it, I don't know if you noticed it, but she stabs the projectionist with the pitchfork and the blood that goes on her face, like the fake blood, because the film is, you know, adjusted that way. The fake blood was like orange. So it like looks like she's stabbing like an alien.
Yeah.
But that was the only time it like threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it was so over, you know, the top that it changes everything.
And I know that they were doing that for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they just didn't understand that.
Totally.
You know, but I know that's
wow. That was a spicy one from you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
My next one is spicier than my last.
Okay.
But I actually had to sit and think about it because you can't just throw it out there without doing your research. So I tried, I looked back, but I think I've got to say, of the films we've reviewed so far, I think Mia Goth's performance as Pearl is the best.
Out of all the performances?
Yeah.
Wow, I need to really think about
that. I know. There were a few that like I hung up on. Like I do think Christian Bale in American Psycho was really good. But I think her in this role, which is surprising for me because I've never been completely committed to Mia Goth, but this film like converted me. I was like, she just completely bodied this role. So yeah. I have to land on that hot take.
Above Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse.
I thought of The Lighthouse as well, which
that's crazy.
It's also very hard.
No, I'm not saying no yet. I'm just thinking.
I'm thinking about what she was in this film to do.
Yeah.
And as an actor, I think she did it so well. She played that role of craziness and just, again, unhinged, unpredictable.
Yeah.
So well that it made me uncomfortable. And again, that's, yeah, like we're saying right now, it's not to say that the other films obviously haven't had amazing performances that we've commented on. This one to me just stood out the most. So,
hey, I'm not saying no.
That's my hot take.
I'm not saying I disagree.
I might get flamed for that one, but
I need to think about it. But hey, that's pretty wild. That's a good hot take.
I'm going to ride that one.
That's like a good hot take.
Like she rode that scarecrow.
Hey, that's one way to put it. I have another really spicy one that I know you're going to disagree with too.
Wow, the chamber is hot today.
I know. And I was actually thinking about this. Okay.
Okay, okay.
And I, you know, I've seen it twice. First time, I feel like I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. Second time, I was like really, really just being super critical.
Okay.
I think Pearl's monologue is only what it is because of her acting, not because of the writing.
Really?
Yes, but I don't disagree that the writing itself is like anything like super notable, but the actual characterization of Pearl by Mia is what holds the film up.
Sure.
So like I was thinking about that actual dialogue and I'd love to like read it, like of just her monologue, but it really just felt like her kind of telling, like her just like rambling about her thoughts.
Yeah.
In like no cohesive way, which in itself is good writing, I guess, to what she's trying to do. But as far as like something that's just really, really well written, I don't know. I don't know how to.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what they were trying to do. It's just, I don't know if I could have written it better.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
You traitor. Know. I'm just kidding. What that is interesting that you say that though, because I obviously not anytime soon, but it'd be interesting to rewatch it down the road and, you know, notice things I didn't notice this first time. Because the first time you're just so sucked
mesmerized.
In.
Mesmerized.
You saw this in theaters?
Mm-hmm. I know.
This would be a crazy one to see in theaters. You see with Tyler?
I think I did see it, Tyler. I have a couple more that are like not as spicy. We already talked about Mia Goth should have been recognized by the Academy. I said, if you don't like this film, then you didn't understand the goal of the film. And it's supposed to be melodramatic, art house, and simple. So like, I just disagree with all the one stars. And you already said this, Pearl is 1,000 times better than X.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
If you're going to watch any of them, watch Pearl, don't watch X, because it's so much better.
I think I went into X with such high expectations. Same. And then I was like, It just felt silly to me. It was just very...
Which sucks because Jenna Ortega is such a scream queen.
And she does do a good job in that movie. Yeah. Like, I think the performances were really good. And when I found out Mia Goth plays the old woman, well, Pearl, just older, thought that was kind of cool. But like the gator eating the chick, you know, just there's a lot of moments like that where I was like, this just feels a little much.
Yeah.
I thought this was so much better.
Yep. Which, spoiler, X is not in our top 50.
Yeah.
If you couldn't guess that from this.
Which I know it has a cult following, so.
Does.
I know. Maybe canceled after this one.
It might be canceled. Have we heard any hot takes we agree or disagree with?
Yes.
Several. There are people saying it was boring.
Yeah.
Her unpredictability alone makes you, makes it not boring.
That threw me the most off, I think, just reading how many people said it was boring, because I never felt that way at all. So I don't know where you got that. But yeah, and then like her being a bad actress. Those two things, just no shot.
Insane.
Yeah.
Somebody said Ty's glory years are over. And I...
What glory years?
I literally... Because he... So I saw... I guess he made VHS too.
Oh, okay.
Which I've seen that. I saw it a long time ago. But
yeah.
Like, not... I.
No, it's not.
So this might be a hot take, but I said that Pearl is his best film.
No, totally. I think that's...
I don't care what people say.
Super fair.
Yeah. Like...
Yeah.
So for them to be like, yeah, his other films are so much better. I was like, who are you?
Yeah, that's wrong.
Hottest of all hot takes.
Ooh, there were some simmering takes.
Dude, the one you said about Mia's acting, that's got to be.
I might go Mia's acting. Yeah. I was just advocating for her, you know.
Somebody said this shouldn't be considered horror, though.
Like someone we know or someone in
somebody on Letterboxd was like, this shouldn't be considered horror. I'm sure a six-year-old kid could have done a better job on this.
What do you mean? Like, she's,
I don't know.
Some brutal deaths in this one.
Probably the person who.
Oh, I mean, it's
said
like
animal
I said,
cruelty.
Yeah, it's not scary, but like it is like very disturbing. It's very dark.
I know.
You know, not every horror film needs to have.
Gosh,
it's just different.
People are tripping.
Yeah.
Do we agree with the IMDb rating?
I said no. Actually.
Me neither.
I said at least 7.2 or 7.3.
I said 7.3.
Gasp.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
just because of her performance alone.
The caliber at which we're dealing with here.
I know.
But it is crazy when I go through other horror films, like their scores on IMDb are fairly low sometimes. But
I know. What is the chill factor? Our favorite part of this film. Chills to the chills. I'm sure we both said the same thing.
I said Mia Goth.
Yep.
Yep.
Mia freaking Goth, her it's performance, chef's
so
kiss.
So good.
Yeah. Do we recommend this film to everyone or only a select audience? Definitely not everyone.
Definitely not everybody.
It's gory, a little slow in certain parts.
Yeah.
But it does have a wild performance. So I definitely think if you can handle it, it's worth it.
Totally. Yeah. It's like you said, very intense, unhinged, psychopath, axe murdering vibes. If you don't like that, you can stick to your Friday the 13th or whatever, you know, but if you're open to this kind of film, then go for it. Cause I think it could pay off for sure, but definitely not for everybody.
And where can I watch this? 'Tis free on Amazon Prime.
Woo.
Well, that wraps up Chamber of Chills. Number 33, top horror film of all time. Pearl. Thank you guys for listening to our 19th episode. Now the riddle for next week's episode. In a house where shadows dance and play, two souls arrive, their fears to allay. A family trapped in a ghostly grip, seeking salvation from this haunted trip. A nun in darkness with a secret vial. The courage tested mile after mile. Against the backdrop of the spectral fray, heroes and demons in a deadly ballet. What is this tale where the living meet the dead, and brave hearts venture where angels fear to tread?
Boom.
Boom.
Bet you'll never guess what that one is.
It is A Bug's Life.
Oh my gosh.
You did get it.
You dog.
Okay, don't forget to follow us on our two social accounts, Instagram and TikTok, at The Chamber of Chills. Please DM us, comment on our posts, send us an email at podcast@thechamberofchills.com. If you have any questions, thoughts, or dun-dun-dun, submit your hot takes, please. We are coming up on our next Hot Takes Hallway episode very soon, so send them all in. Also, share our podcast with your friends who like films. We could always use the extra love. Always room for more love here in the chamber. Don't forget a couple more episodes till our Hot Takes Hallway episode.
Woo!
That's all for today. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for what's next on Chamber of Chills.
Bye.
Please, I'm a